Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 70 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is going to be program number 172. So if you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you at the end of the program four different ways on how to receive a copy of it. We have some letters today, and I don't know, we might even have some phone responses to it.
But yeah.
All right, and so right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to, Father, anoint this service. Lord, we know that You've given us the inward anointing, but we all need to have the outward anointing in order to be in the ministry. And seeing it is that when You open the books in the kingdom of heaven to judge the righteous and the unrighteous, You're going to see all the works that we've done. In other words, You're keeping book on everything that we say and do. And so therefore, Father, I ask that everything that's said in this service today, let it be straight from Your throne. Lord, cascade, or let Your Spirit flow from Your throne through me. Lord, that the world will be instructed and the church edified, I ask it. Lord, and bind all these people that are coming against us here, and give me the wisdom of how to uncover them, because to expose them, because that's how we bind Satan on this earth, is to expose what he's doing. And that's why he's causing such a fuss today, Lord, is because we are exposing him. But You promised that if we expose him or bind him here on earth, that You would bind him from in heaven. And so we're going to take You. I'm taking You at Your word, Lord. I trust Your word. I have faith in Your word. And therefore I thank and praise You for it, for anointing and strengthening the church, winning souls, and binding Satan and all his works in heaven as I expose them, binding them here on earth. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now you have letters. And where is the first one from, please?
From Kenya, Africa.
Kenya. All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Tony, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are busy here with the street ministry, witnessing and distributing your literature. Many souls are coming to the Lord every day. Pray for us and send a continuous support of Bibles and literature. Please send us 1,000 Bibles, 1,000 newsletters, 1,000 Be Healed, and 1,000 Always Pray. Every blessing to you, Reverend Amos from Kenya, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Then where's the next one from?
From Brooklyn, New York.
All right, let's hear it.
Early this morning, I was rushing to work, and a young fellow handed me your newsletter, Earthquake, while saying these words, "Praise your Lord Jesus Christ." At first, I was reluctant, but he said, "Jesus will never be too busy for you. Take out some time and read this newsletter." I took the letter and told him to have a blessed day. During my lunch break, I read it over and was so astonished in how spiritual I felt when I was done reading. It was like an intervention. I was in a state of total bliss and calmness. I want to send great thanks to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries for letting me be a part of this wonderful newsletter. Please send me more information about his newsletters and how I can receive them. Thank you, Tanya from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, just go ahead and send her some right now, the Messiah book and some tapes, or inform her of the time that we're on the other in New York. All right. All right, where's the next letter from?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, what do they say?
Dear Pastor, it affords me this opportunity and pleasure to write you this letter. My name is Ahmed. I am a student of Modern College of Science and Technology. My reason of writing to you this letter is to inform you about what the Lord has done for me after reading your newsletter. I came across your newsletters through my classmate who received them from your ministries. After I have read and meditated on your newsletter, I realized that the only person that we are supposed to worship is the Almighty God and His only begotten Son, who came to die on the cross of Calvary to wash.
That certainly is a shot in the head to all these people that are saying that people are worshiping me, because I keep telling people to worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I never, ever, ever take credit for anything that the Lord does in and through me. Never. I'm nothing. Only what the Lord does in and through me is of any value. And he can do the same thing through you, and maybe even more, because maybe you're more pliable to the Lord than I was. Who knows, you know, what God can do. We have a man here this evening, a brother in Christ, who the Lord has used in such a very mighty way, and he's going to give a testimony, so make sure you stay tuned. Don't turn that dial, because we call him Buster, but his real name is Leslie White, but he's, everybody knows him by Buster. You heard me talk about him on the air before. And so let's continue with the letter.
I realize that the only person that we are supposed to worship is the Almighty God and His only begotten Son, who came to die on the cross of Calvary to wash away all of our sins. I have also realized that there is not any other God apart from the God Almighty who is in heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And what else?
And is also the controller of all things.
Amen. Except people. If he were in control of all people, people wouldn't go to hell. But that's a false statement, because the Lord states that he made us free moral agents and gave us the capacity to be able to choose whether we're going to do good or evil. And so he doesn't want to control us. He wants us to allow him, ourselves, to be controlled by him. We need to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. You have to actually want to do it. You have to make yourself be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't come naturally. Anything that's natural is not of the Lord. The Lord is supernatural. And if we're in His kingdom, and if we're in the Spirit, then we're supernatural beings. And that means that we've chosen to be controlled by the Lord. But many people are not. Now, everything in the universe is under the control of the Lord. We can tell exactly when the tide's coming in, because the Lord is so minute in everything that He does. We can tell when the sun is going to rise, when it's going to set, every day of the year. We know these things because the Lord has set up everything more intelligently than even Swiss movement on a watch. You can clock what's going to happen years from now. You can tell when there's going to be an eclipse. We can tell those things. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord controls everything, but He allows us humans to have free, or free moral agents. We have the choice in our will. Our will is in our soul. And so if we give our soul over to the Spirit of the Lord, then we can rule our lives according to our spirit. But we have to have the Spirit. You've seen a spirited horse run. They can tell that they have a really strong spirit, because they race horses, you know. They run fast, and they want to do it. Then you see an old nag walking out on the racetrack. You know, you can tell just by looking at him which one's going to win. Amen?
Amen.
The spirited one. So the spirit, they choose to be spirited, to be zealous towards the Lord. So we have to choose to be that way. And then the Lord will help us out. He'll move into our spirits with His Spirit and give us power and strength to continue being spiritual, zealous. And if we're not zealous, He says He'll spit us out of His mouth. So that right there, that scripture tells us that there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. We have to choose to be always saved. Amen?
Amen.
If you start sinning, it's quite clear in the scriptures, it's very clear that he that sins is of the devil.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And the soul that sins shall surely die. The Lord did not, when we're talking about the great white throne, the white throne means that it's purity. And it says that when he looks, it just glances at the heavens and the earth, that they flee from him. That's how pure he is, and how impure the actual heavens and all the different galaxies are. They flee from the appearance of his purity. And if you've got sin on your soul, what do you think is going to happen? You'll flee right into hell and the lake of fire. When people die, they go to hell. And they're in hell right now. Yeah, hell is like a holding place for souls. The final place is the lake of fire. Now, the holding place is like if a person goes to jail here, that you committed a crime, so they take you to jail. That's the holding place. Then you go for final judgment at the Great White Throne or in the courtrooms here. And then if you're found guilty, then they take you and put you in prison. That's the way it is. Hell is a place to hold, just like the county jail. The Texarkana, Fort Smith, or Los Angeles County Jail, they hold you there. And then they take you to court before the Great White Throne. You may say it's like similar. And then God judges you at the Great White Throne, the final judgment, and there's no parole, there's no appeals. You're just going straight into the lake of fire. But you're held in hell until death in hell is slung into the lake of fire. And you're there eternally. There's no parole, no appeals, no attorneys that are going to get you out of there. Okay, let's finish with the letter, please.
Sir, I would like to request for more newsletters so that I can distribute to my friends and other people, and through that, they may receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, and also some information about the teachings of Christ on video cassette or audio or video CDs. I will be very grateful if you can provide any of my needs. May the good God give you wisdom and compassion to continue with the work of God. Yours in Christ, Ahmed, from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need, is more fear of the Lord. Because so many people have fallen asleep. They sometimes get there, they're very zealous, and they start going real good, and then all of a sudden they figure, well, we've done enough for you, Lord, so therefore we're going to kick back and relax. But that never happened with the real apostles or the true Christians. They were faithful to the death, just like Jesus was. And if we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, and we're not going to be there at the Great White Throne of Judgment, where it's the most fearful place in the universe to be, we're going to keep zealous. The older we are in the Lord, the more zealous we should be.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, then what? Where's this next one from?
It's a phone room response from San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
A woman called from San Antonio, Texas, and said she did not know how she got this piece of literature, but that for weeks prior to finding it, the Lord had been dealing with her to give her life to Him and serve Him. She said she kept putting it off with the mind that she doesn't know how to stay saved and that she would get saved some other time. When she read Pastor Lama's literature entitled Mass Suicide, she said every word bore witness with her heart and soul, and she knew she could not put off getting saved one more minute. She said the prayer on the back of the literature and felt the Lord save her soul. Immediately afterwards is when she called the 24-hour witnessing line to ask for more of the literature, Mass Suicide, to send to her family in California. She was told about the audio messages and other pieces of literature that are available in Bibles and about the ministry. She's so thankful that she found the literature and a church that would help her stay saved. She wants to become a distributor in her area. She wants to be put on the mailing list for tapes and literature and requested every piece of literature you have ever written. She was surprised to hear they were free and said she would be sending a tithe.
Oh, praise the Lord. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, now as I promised before, we've got Buster. A lot of people, Buster, come on over. Yeah, a lot of people say that, you know, that I brainwash people to come into the church and that I'm a brainwasher, a mind controller and everything. But I love Buster's testimony because I hadn't even met him. And his friends that are in high places in the city of Texarkana were really giving him the business, saying that he'd been brainwashed by me. And he kept telling them, I have never met the man yet. So, Buster, you tell it a lot better than I would. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was witnessed to by two brothers from this ministry, Tommy and Rob, for a year and a half, and I wouldn't let them get too much of the Word of God in me before I would reject it. And I became such friends with them that I'd ask them to go to lunches with me and have them over to my house for a cup of coffee.
And you were a businessman. Buster here has owned how many huge furniture stores?
I've had six at one time in three different states.
Three different states, so you still are in the furniture business.
Yes, a variety store, furniture store.
He had several other businesses. Very good businessman. Then go ahead.
And during one of the visits that they came over to my house, one of them snuck a Messiah book by Tony Alamo in my house. And I had read that, and for what reason was only God, because I didn't really like to read. And I read that book twice, then I put it in the end table, forgot all about it. June 20th of 2003, I was supernaturally received salvation from the Lord and was directed by God himself to be at the Tony Alamo Christian Church here in Fowl. When I first came to services here, the second night I came, one of my friends, and my friends in this area are all either attorneys, judges, district attorneys, then we have friends that are Secretary of State, Attorney Generals, and none of them wanted me to be in this ministry. And the second night I came to services, one of them even pulled up in the parking lot and told me I couldn't be here. So in coming to services 7 nights a week, I knew that the Lord intended for me to serve him 24/7. I didn't know of any other church or never had heard of any other church that had services 7 nights a week. So I knew that this is where God wanted me to be. During that time, I was coming again 7 nights a week, and my friends, every day, we would have lunches together, and they would absolutely pepper me with questions about this ministry and Tony Alamo and everything that went on here.
And these friends of yours were pretty good characters, too. I mean, all of you were rounders, so to speak, right?
Very much so. Yes, sir. Very much so.
Yeah. Just like myself, you know, we're actually real good citizens of the world.
Of the world, yes,
right,
sir.
Not the world to come, but the world. Then what?
And they kept asking me what went on down here. Finally, after a few weeks of coming every night, they said, "What's Tony Alamo like?" And I said, "I don't know. I've never met him." They said, "Well, what does he sound like?" And I said, "I don't know. I've never talked to him." They said, "You're going there every night, you've been there for weeks, and you've never met him or talked to him." I said, "No, and I don't care if I ever do. God saved me. I'm going to church to worship God through Jesus Christ.
Right.
If I meet him, fine. If I don't, fine." They couldn't understand that.
So they had to believe what the media has been saying, that you were brainwashed by me, right?
They gave me everything that I had heard prior to my salvation, that this is a cult, that they will brainwash you, that they will drug you, that they will do whatever. And I said, "Well, if they're doing it, I'm sure not aware of it, because I come and go from my house to church every night. I still own my business in town. I still own my home." I said, "I'm serving the Lord and doing everything he told me to do by being in these services and witnessing to my friends every day." And they couldn't understand how this was happening without you and I being directly in contact with each other. And I said, "Well, it's the power of the Lord." Now, after 8 weeks, I did meet you, and I came in and I visited with you. And still, that was fine. It was great to meet you, but I knew I was here to serve the Lord God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I was reading your literature, needless to say, and I was looking up the footnotes, which you have thousands in your literature, that go straight back to the King James Version of the Holy Bible. And I was searching out to see if I could find something wrong, which was kind of goofy after someone's been in the Bible for 41 years. But that was the Lord having his way with me to get me to research more and more out of the Bible.
Amen. You've got to find out if you're with a cult leader or not, right?
Amen. I thought, well, if he is, Lord, let me find it out.
Yeah, because you're smart. I mean, you know, you're a very successful businessman. And, you know, you take pride in knowing what you're doing.
Yes, sir. And I knew that this was eternity I was dealing with, and I wanted to make sure that
this is
absolutely my eternal soul is on the line. So after 8 months in the ministry, way down the line, the Lord gave me a verse out of Hebrews 13:17, and that verse was his confirmation that I was exactly where I was supposed to be under who I was supposed to be under. Now my friends, who contradicted everything that was going on and ridiculed this ministry, after a length of time we had some special events here. And one special event, 103 of them show up to see what was going on. Many of them had been back for the second and the third special event we've had here at church. And now, many of them are reading Bible. They've read your tracts, still reading your tracts. There's people running for election right now that have Tony Lamo literature and Messiah books in their homes. And I praise and thank the Lord for being here.
Well, what they do is now they're starting to check you out to see how much you know the Bible. They ask you questions. Now, Buster, what about this? And then you really give them the answer immediately.
Yes, sir.
And I love that time when they were when you were talking to them, and they said, "You're not in a real church unless you can quote the Ten Commandments," and you can rattle them right off.
Yes,
sir. Tell them about that.
Yes, sir. I was at one luncheon, and one of the owners of Central Mall said that he had just got out of a meeting with some Baptist preachers and some deacons from Baptist churches over a land deal. And he says, the subject of the Ten Commandments came up, and nobody could list them. So they would know one or two, three or four, but it shocked me because these are guys who were in the Baptist church for 20, 30 years. So another friend of mine sitting at the table popped up, and he says, "Well, Buster goes to the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. I'm sure he can list them." So the owner of the mall says, "Oh, that's not necessary. Don't worry about it." I'm sure thinking in his mind that I couldn't list them anyway. So I looked at him and I says, "Well, George, if you want me to list them, I'll list them for you." And he says, "Can you?" I says, "Sure." I said, "Do you want them in order or mixed up?" He says, "Well, in order would be fine." I says, "Great. The first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet." So the other guy says, "How do we know those are right?" Said, he could have said anything. I said, "Exodus 20, verses 3 through 17. Check it out yourself." So George says, "Any other bright questions?" So I praise and thank the Lord that he leads, guides, and directs on everything. And he has absolutely, I allow him to do the work in and through me. And he gives the answers every time.
And since you've been in the ministry, you really don't spend that much time at your business anymore. Has your business decreased or increased?
It's increased without me even being there. I told the Lord, in prayer one time, I said, "Lord, if you want me to give this business up, it's gone. You want me to give whatever I got up, it's yours." And he says, "No, you go ahead with my business, I'll take care of yours." And
yes,
he has done that. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Well, praise the Lord. We're going to have you back on, if you will, last year.
Yes, sir.
Many other times. Matter of fact, we can get this TV program on the air. I'd love you to co-host it because you're a real strong citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and I really appreciate you. Buster's been one of the greatest helps that I've ever had in my entire life in the ministry. I've been in the ministry now 41 and a half years, and I was praying, "God, please send somebody to help." He's flown to New Jersey on one or two occasions?
Two different occasions
going back. He goes back and forth from Texarkana to Fort Smith. He's been to Los Angeles. He's been to Fort Smith many times.
Many, many times.
Yeah, many, many times. And he's just willing to do whatever the Lord tells him to do.
Amen.
Now, what's that scripture again?
Hebrews 13:17.
And what does it say?
"Obey those that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they look after your souls, at those that must give account, and make it a joy for them to do so. For if you don't, it's unprofitable for you."
Right, and for years now, you have people under you and everything, and a lot of them, you tell them what to do, and they don't do it. But Buster, always, every time I've suggested anything, I sort of was apprehensive, or I just didn't know. Buster, I was wondering if you could go out there and check, and he's going to be going to Africa and India to check out. There's some people there that say they have thousands of people in their work that need they're like orphans and other people that are starving to death and everything. So we're sending him there with traveler's checks up to $50,000 to make sure that people get fed there. and no one had sent this money, and we all work, and we take the money and put it into the ministry, and we get very few, no ministries, as far as I know, get big ties. Stanley Rader, who was the attorney for the Worldwide Church of God, and he was my attorney for a while. He was the ambassador to China from the United States. He told me that the Worldwide Church of God doesn't get many ties, but what happens is occasionally some big tither will come in and say, okay, we'll sponsor your magazine, whatever it costs to put that out. We'll do that, and then another one will rise and says, we'll take care of your television programs east of the Mississippi, and the other one west of the Mississippi. So they have maybe three or four tithers that do that, and they sponsor programs. We're looking for such people as that.
Amen.
We'd be able to get the gospel out a lot more.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Buster, and I'm sure that's helping a lot of people out there that have heard so many bad things, false things about this church. Thank you.
Yeah, its blessings are all mine.
Praise the Lord. I'm sure you blessed everybody out there. Now, Sharon, let's begin with how to have God's life living in you. We'll continue on with the message regarding to the Great White Throne. I mentioned how that my mother, when I was at the hospital in Butte, Montana, how she died there, and we buried her there. And she finally confessed to me that she had seen a vision from the Lord, and she saw the Great White Throne. It was so bright that she couldn't see who was on it. And because of the faithfulness that Sue and I had in the ministry, the Lord spared her soul. And there was the frame was just on the Great White Throne. It was huge. It was going up into eternity, and it was bright. And the Lord Jesus Christ came in between the throne and my mother. And I love my mother more than anything in the world. And he said, not yet, Father, she's not ready. I said, see, Mom, you know, you got to get right with the Lord. First, she was saying, what have I done? I haven't done anything wrong. I said, well, you drank too much and you got cirrhosis of the liver, and you're going to die, and you need to get right with the Lord before. And some people will say, well, you shouldn't say they're going to die. Why not? Why not tell the truth to people so that they'll get right with the Lord before they go out into a burning hell? Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I wanted my mother to know the truth. That's so wrong. There's motorcycle people that got in wrecks, and we go up and tell them, look, your partner over here just died, and it looks like you're not going to make it, so you want to say the prayer to the Lord so that your soul will be saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray him through, and they die. Well, my mother then told me of this vision, and I says, well, then he spared you until we got here to tell you the truth. And so we prayed her through, and the Spirit of God came down so strong in that hospital room that we knew for sure she really got saved. My Aunt Viola was there, and she was not what you call a spiritual person. She told me, Tony, at one time, don't read the Bible because there's nasty stuff in there. God always tells you, you know, the truth. He tells you, you know, about people that had sex with animals and that they to be killed. He tells you about homosexuality and lesbianism and how that he poured out his wrath on them because he hates that. And the Bible tells us all these different things of the things that God hates. He tells of many, like adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, and worshiping other gods and coveting. And so he doesn't hold anything back. She said, just read the letters in red. Well, when she was in there, she started praising and thanking the Lord. The Spirit fell down on her, and she was spinning around, and she was speaking in tongues.
Praise the Lord.
And now she went on to be with the Lord as well. So not only did my mother get saved there, but my Aunt Viola did. When I was a little child, I used to mistake Viola, my aunt, for my mother. And I started crying because she said, I'm not your mother. And I said, well, then if you're not my mother, then who are you? You know, she started laughing, you know, because I really believed that she was my mother, because they look so much alike. And I was happy to see her saved. Praise the Lord. I know they're both in heaven.
Amen.
All right, so anyway, now we're continuing on with this message. I got the idea from the Lord, you know, to go on with the Great White Throne. All right? So we had another message on that yesterday, and now we're continuing today. So how does it start out?
We have a date with the deity, which tells me that you will meet Jesus Christ if you haven't met him yet. You will meet him either as Savior, or you will meet him as the final judge. But meet him you will. You must. There's no getting around it. You will meet him either as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, or you will meet him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But meet him you surely will, and you surely must. It's an absolute must. There's no getting around it.
No, the Bible says that the righteous and unrighteous are going to be raised from the dead, and they're going to be there at the great white throne. Not the righteous, but the unrighteous will be there. And when you're at the great white throne, that's the most fearful thing. If you wind up there, you'll know for sure that your soul is going to hell. Okay, keep going.
So you'll either walk down this make-believe aisle here in this radio broadcast and give your heart to Jesus and receive your born-again experience, your saved experience, and meet him, therefore, in salvation, or you will meet him in judgment. But for sure you're going to meet him. You must. Quote, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Unquote. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. One of these days, you are going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, either here you bow your knee willingly, or he's going to make you do it. You won't be able to help it. If the actually heavens and the earth flee from him, what do you think you're going to be standing there naked and by yourself? No one's going to be there with you. There won't be any mountains, no hills, no rivers, no streams. There'll be no animals, no parents, no friends or relatives, nothing but yourself, and with the sin on your soul. And sin, it's a frightening thing to come in before the presence of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
I also want every one of you to know this. Not only the awesome person and the awful place, I don't want you to just know that, but thirdly, look now at the awful position that will be there. The Bible tells us that the earth and the heaven fled away. It will be just you and the Lord there. There will be no mountains. There won't be any stars. There won't be any sky. There will not be any bushes for you to hide behind. No trees, no flowers.
No, like in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were able to sleep in the bushes, you know. But there won't be anything there at the great white throne for you to flee behind. Okay, then what?
There will not be anyone but you and the Lord. You'll be really bad off if you are in that judgment. Even more than Adam was in the Garden of Eden. I'll tell you why. It's because when God was judging Adam and Eve, they ran and were able to hide behind the bushes and had leaves on them that they had sewn together and used as aprons. So when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he could hide behind any of the leaves that he got from the bushes. But in the judgment, there won't be any place to hide.
And no bushes. Okay, what else?
Everything stable.
Not even George W. Bush. You won't hide behind him there, and he won't hide behind anything either.
Amen.
Unless he gets right with the Lord, he's going to be there too. All right, then what? You never know. We may never see another sunrise. Amen. Or
amen.
Another sunset. Okay, go ahead.
Everything stable, everything solid, everything familiar will be taken away. It will all be gone. Every stone, every vine, every rock, every bush, every tree, every flower will be gone.
Every penny that you have. There will be no money there with you, or any of the holdings that you have, any of the properties or bank accounts or cash deposit boxes or vaults or anything that you've got stashed, if you have anything stashed at all. No automobiles, no blankets, no sheets, no bed to hide under. You're just there. Okay, then what?
There won't be any hiding place for you. Every cellar will all disappear. It will all be gone. There's this old song that people sing. It's a spiritual that says, I went to the rock to hide my face, but the rock cried out, no hiding place. People in the church and out in the world, there will not even be a rock to cry out to, because the Bible states here that the heavens and the earth will flee away at that point. That is the setting described. It will be just as the Bible describes. Now the next thing I want you to know is that the summons is going to be handed out. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, which says, quote, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, unquote. Now the people that are called to this judgment, the dead, small and great, are coming to stand there. They are persons who will be called. You can put them all together into one of the four categories, and perhaps you are in one of these categories. The first one is what I call the out-and-out sinner. These are they who hate God, who hate Christ, who hate the Word of God, the Bible. They hate Christians. These are sinners, and they are condemned sinners by choice. They are sinners in arrogance. They shake their puny fists in the air and in the face of God, bragging brazenly and say, if there be a God, you are not enough to make me serve you. What they do is they hate the church, they hate the Bible that I preach, they hate the Holy Spirit, they hate the cross of Christ. They are arrogant sinners, out and out sinners. And they will stand in the judgment, the great judgment of God. The next category of people who will be there, not only just the out and out sinners, but the self-righteous persons will be in this judgment. Self-righteous people will all be in the judgment with the sinner.
The Bible says that a common harlot shall enter the kingdom of heaven if she repents before a self-righteous person. Okay, then what?
The self-righteous person is a person who thinks he or she is too good to be damned, who thinks that the gospel is for the thieves, murderers, rebels, robbers. The gospel is for the prostitutes, whoremongers, whores, and pimps. The gospel is for sex perverts, drunkards, dope addicts, and the peddlers. Not for him, because he is a solid citizen. He has good manners, fine morals, and lives in a nice house. He's ultra-educated and religious. He attends worship service. So they're too good to be damned. He does not feel that he needs to be saved. But Jesus our Lord says to everyone, and men and women who are like that, quote, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall not even enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven.
Now the scribes and Pharisees were religious people, and those people that are religious will not enter the kingdom of God, because religion is of the devil and salvation is of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You can be religiously there, leading the song service or bringing the message or opening the services and taking care of the door or cooking or whatever you do in the church, and still go to hell, because you have to. Some people they just feel that they know the plan of salvation, but you need to know the man that fulfilled salvation, okay? The man that created the plan of salvation, okay?
Yeah.
You have to have your hand in the hand of the man. Still the water, you have to have him inside your heart and soul with the Father by the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
You can't just know how to tell people how to get to heaven. I can be telling people how to get to heaven, but if I don't have Christ with the Father by the Spirit living in me, I'm not going to heaven either. I'll be there in that judgment. All right? Then what else?
Even your righteousness, when it is at its best, is like a filthy rag in the sight of a righteous and a holy God. You had better hear me today. There's nobody so bad that they cannot be saved, and so good that they need not be saved if they are not saved. So put it down the way that it is. Put it very plain. Put it down big time. Put it down straight and narrow. self-righteous people are going to be present at the final judgment. Most of the people here in the United States of America are really nothing but egomaniacs that strut around like peacocks, and they're en route to hell and the lake of fire, thinking that they're too good to be damned, when the worst of badness is human goodness, especially when human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. So who are they? Yes, who are the persons that will be there? The out-and-out sinner will be. The self-righteous person will be there.
So you could feed all the people in the world. They got a company called Feed the Children. Well, he could feed all the children in the world that are starving, and I really think that's a commendable thing to do. As a matter of fact, we're doing the same thing. But if you feed all the children in the world and you don't have Christ in you, you're still going to go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You've got to have the Master, the Lord and Master with His Father by the Spirit in you, or you're not going to heaven. I don't care if you even give your body to be burned, you're still going to hell. Because your deeds, the deeds that are not of the Lord, if you're not giving your body wholly over to the Lord, if you're not surrendering yourself completely unto the cross, the death of the cross, and the resurrection of the Lord. When the Lord resurrected from the dead, it wasn't only Him that resurrected, it was the church that resurrected with Him. Because we are in Him. We had to come to Him in order to get into the rest of the body of Christ. I would say that we're the feet and the toenails of the body of Christ, because we're the last ones that are getting saved. The first will be last, and the last shall be first. So maybe we're the mop-up crew, is what Susie used to say all the time. We're the ones that's doing the final mop-up down here. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord has chosen a bunch of characters like Buster and myself, all right, and all the rest of these characters around here. All right, and so you could be one too. But just don't think you're a self-righteous person, because you're not going to be there for your righteousness. We're there because of Christ's righteousness, what He did for us, and because He lives in us. If you invite Him in, He will enter into you. Okay, and then what?
Quote, "And I saw the dead, small and great," unquote. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. I'll tell you somebody else who will be there. These are not out-and-out sinners, nor are they self-righteous people. These are sinners who know that they are sinners. They are ashamed of their sins. They are sorry for their sins. They know that they're in need to be saved. They know that they need Jesus Christ, yet they simply put it off, put it off, put it off, and put it off. They intend to be saved. That's what our intentions are to do, they say, but they keep on putting it off. When the Word of God states, quote, "Boast thyself not of tomorrow," unquote, they don't listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs.
Don't boast what you're going to do tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come for you. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
It was Proverbs 27.
Don't say, "I'll do it tomorrow," because how do you know tomorrow's going to be here for you? Maybe you're going to go out tonight before the Lord. So you keep putting it off until tomorrow. And there's a song that they do in Italy. It's called "There's No Tomorrow." Amen?
Amen.
It's your time tonight. Amen?
Amen.
There's no tomorrow. You better get right tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Right now, today, before something happens to you. The thing that you think can be avoided was not avoided. I know many people that get in their cars at night or during the day to go to work, and they get slammed by another car and they go out into eternity. And there's no more tomorrow. I'm going to put it off till tomorrow. Okay, go ahead.
Quote, "Behold, now is the time of salvation, the day of the acceptance of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. They pay no attention. I remember the 30s and I remember the 40s when they were talking about war and the Second World War began. The fearful 50s, the 60s that were riotous and sinking.
Yeah, I was born in 34, and I remember when the World War II, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. I was around 7 years old then. December 7th, that was on my brother Danny's birthday. Then what?
And there were the 70s, where Sue and I got into the ministry.
Well, I actually got into the ministry in the 60s, but we were full-fledged into the ministries in ministry in 64 is when the Lord spoke to me. And then we were into the ministry full-fledged, actually. We were in the ministry in the 60s, the late 60s, the mid-60s, and in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and now here it is 2000. And six. Okay, go ahead.
It was a very solemn thing for me. I call it the solemn 70s. Then the 80s. We were going through much persecutions during the 70s and 80s, so we could call it the awful 80s. Susie went on to be with the Lord in the 80s.
1982, April 8th. Then what?
Then the 90s, which we see the whole world going completely crazy. The nagging 90s. And all throughout our lifetimes and the years 2000. Every day the people of the world say, tomorrow, tomorrow everything is going to be better.
Yeah, we'll take care of our salvation mañana, tomorrow. But then what?
Yes, tomorrow will be better and we'll repent tomorrow. In every age they have said, you don't have to be saved right now. You've got time. Live a little bit. Enjoy life for just a while and then you can be saved. What's out in the world now?
No. What is out in the world now? That's a typo. What's what is in the world now? Huh? Violence? Treachery? AIDS? Ebola? Terrorism? Cancer? Heart disease? Leukemia? Made a whole list here. What all?
There's bloodshed everywhere in the world. There is starvation. There's AIDS, Ebola, heart disease, cancer, leukemia, every kind of disease going. Now the bird flu and the mad cow disease. It's getting to where people are planning now in a couple of months not to eat chicken or turkey anymore.
Right, I was just talking to Charlie Tartella. He was one of the people in the American Health Studios, so at Figure Farm, which was the world's largest chain of health spas, back in the 50s, and he was saying, we're not going to eat any chicken 2 months from now. We're going to Beijing, China, on a 4-week tour or something like that. We're coming back, and we're not going to eat more turkey or chicken. And the Lord told me to don't eat any beef or dairy. I mean, they were going to wind up eating crackers just like they did out in the wilderness, amen. But whatever the Lord says, you know, we've got to do it if we want to live, amen, and not have to stand in the great white throne judgment. Then what?
So people who are telling you to go out into the world and have some fun, what fun is it out there with terrorism and all the other things? And then you can be saved? If you listen to the people of the world, the ones who are so deceived, your heart will get so hard that you cannot ever hear the gospel and receive the gospel of Christ. And all because you have postponed salvation. All because you have kept putting salvation off.
Right. There are people in the church that keep putting off serving the Lord. They're sitting in there. They say, we're saved, and they're not doing anything for Him. Any day for Him. They're just sitting. I see them surrounding me all the time. People that just really, you can tell they're not in the Spirit. They're not doing anything for the Lord. They think cooking and feeding themselves and taking care of their own clothing and their own bed and their bedroom and all this sort of thing, that that's serving the Lord. They eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. That's the way it sounds like to me. Okay, then what else?
You have
kept... I was with Larry Hagerman. He says, I hear that you're in charge of a bunch of people up there on the hill, and all they do is just eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. I said, well, Larry, it's a little bit more than that. Most of us serve the Lord, okay? All right, then what else?
You have kept putting salvation off. Just put it off for another day, another month, another year. Pretty soon, 10 years have gone by, and then one morning, you wake up standing at the great white throne of the Lord. There's an old saying that is extremely true. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. We have good intentions to be saved, you say. If you really are going to be in the kingdom of heaven, you'd better listen to me. You'd better hear me if you ever intend to get to heaven. If you ever intend to be filled with the Spirit of God, to have power over all your stupidity, over all your weaknesses. If you ever intend to get right with God, then you'd better listen to my advice and do it right now. The Word of God, the Bible, says, quote, boast not thyself of tomorrow, unquote, because you don't know that you're going to live tomorrow. You know that there are souls in hell right now. There are souls in the pit of hell right now that would give millions if they had owned millions of worlds.
They would give, if they had millions and millions of worlds, they would give all those millions of worlds right now, because you have no idea how horrible hell is. Just if they could be listening to this message now and have one more chance to repent. I mean, you'd step in your mother's face with high heel shoes if you're a woman and punch her eyes out to get out of hell. There's nobody. There's no friendship in hell. If you could get out of there, you'd do anything to get out. If you own this world and hundreds of millions of other worlds, you'd give them all up just to hear a message like this and get on your knees and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your spirit, so that your soul could be saved. What a beautiful chance you have right now to receive salvation. Keep going.
They would give the millions of worlds to have the opportunity that you've got right now to be saved. And what is it? That is to hear one more service. Wouldn't that be nice for the people in hell? They'd love to hear one more service that would allow them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What did you say? Did you say, who will be there? Verse 12 of Revelation chapter 20 states, quote, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God.
The dead mean those that are cursed to hell. They've chosen to go there, but both peasants and rich people and powerful people that have position in this world.
Men of integrity. Men that people worship on this earth. Small and great that are going to go to hell. Okay, then what? The dead will rise. Those are the dead, dead in their sins and trespasses. They never receive salvation. Then what?
These are they who will come. The up and outers, the down and outers, the out and out sinner, the self-righteous person, the procrastinator that keeps putting it off and putting it off.
We'll do it tomorrow. Then what?
Who is going to be there? Are you going to be there at the great white throne? Quote, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. God the Son, of course. God the Son is Christ, the Father. These are they who are going to come. So another category of people who will be there, and I believe that these people are the most miserable, the saddest of them all. And who will that be? It will be the church members. The church members will be in the judgment. These church members, these people who are not out and out sinners, they're not self-righteous people, they're not procrastinators either, they don't fit any of these categories.
But they're sitting in churches and they don't worship the Lord, and they're not saved. They've never received a born-again experience, and they've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Then what else?
These are people who simply have forced religion. They're religious people. They trust everything instead of trust the Lord. They trust church membership. They trust their religious beliefs, their religiosity. They trust their attendance, and they trust because they give tithes.
We attend church every day and twice on Sunday, and we give our tithes, and we give, pass out literature, and we do all these things. Then go ahead.
They trust their baptism. They trust the doctrine.
I've been baptized, and I open the service. I trust that. Then what else?
They trust the doctrine.
They trust the doctrine of the Bible. Then what?
They trust the pastor. They trust their church, the denomination. They trust in anything and everything, but do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't trust the Word of God. Another thing more important, they've never been born again. Jesus said, quote, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, and when I prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, then will I profess unto thee and unto them, Jesus says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I knew you not.
But well, wasn't the Lord doing his work in and through them? It was them doing it. It says, have we not done great and mighty things? Look at all what we have done, you know? And I say, I haven't done anything except what the Lord has done through me. Okay, and it's all the Lord. That's what Paul said, too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But Lord, I sang in the choir. I knew you not. I opened up prayer meetings, and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. The hardest people to reach for Jesus are those who are religious, and yet they are lost. All these people who are sitting in church today, most of them are not even saved. They've never been born again. Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will Jesus say, I profess unto you, I profess unto all those who say that, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I didn't know you. I knew you not. But Lord, I sang in the choir. I opened up prayer meetings. The Lord just keeps saying, depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
All right, I see my time is up, but you're going to want to tune in tomorrow to hear the rest of this if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Or if you don't want to hear this, you better pick up the Bible and read it then, because it's not going to say the things that these false prophets are saying. Right now, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, don't put it off another day. Listen to me. Listen to what the Lord says. Now is the time of salvation. Say this prayer to him so that you can not put it off any longer and become a part of the body of Christ. All right? Say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me because you're everywhere. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere in the universe you're at, and right here. And you're making book on me. You're keeping the books. You're going to open up the books and judge us for everything we did in our bodies and out of our bodies. And so, therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Praise and thank the Lord that you are not in hell now and that you were able to receive salvation. Praise the Lord. And now here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you're able to receive this program. And that's program. Ask for program 172 if you'd like to have a copy of it. It's free of charge. If you need a Bible, we'll send you one free of charge, the tapes, and literature. Go ahead and tell them.
You can go to alamoministries.com. Or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, tune in tomorrow. Make sure you ask for a tape or a CD, whichever one you want. Tune in tomorrow for number 71 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Till then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. I'm so happy you were saved, or I was so happy you were edified and made stronger in the Lord today. And God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.